Let us pray. Heavenly Father, on this Good Friday, we ask that you would magnify Jesus amongst us. And this morning we would see Jesus, Lord God. We would know his truth. And we would know his great love and sacrifice for us, his church. We ask this in his holy name. Amen. What a fearful and terrible thing it must be to judge God. Imagine God were to come before you, the awesome and holy and all-powerful creator and ruler of everything. And you had to interrogate him and then pronounce your judgment. How would you feel? I'd be terrified. This, of course, is an absurd thought. No human being could rightfully judge God. Yet this is what happens on Good Friday. Good Friday was the day that humanity judged God. Jesus of Nazareth, God in the flesh, the long-awaited Christ. He'd finally come to the capital city of God's people, Jerusalem. And for a whole week, Jesus had been in the courts of God's temple, teaching God's people. But the very highest human religious authorities, the chief priests of that temple and the teachers of God's law, they're sick of Jesus and his teaching. And they want to silence him. And the tension that's been building up for all the years of Jesus' public ministry finally boils over on Good Friday. You remember the story? With the aid of Judas, the betrayer, late on the Thursday night before Good Friday, the temple police seized Jesus. He was taken to the high priest's house. He was mocked and beaten by the guards. And then at daybreak, the start of Good Friday, the ruling council of the elders of the people, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, they met together and Jesus was led before them. And now these chief priests and these teachers of God's law, they finally have Jesus right where they want him. And they interrogate Jesus. Can you imagine how awesome a moment that Good Friday morning must have been? Think about it. God has come to his creation in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. And now this council of rulers, the spiritual leaders of God's people, including the high priest of God's temple, are finally meeting face to face with God in the flesh. And throughout his ministry, throughout his time on earth, the big question hanging over Jesus is, who is he? And through all the signs and the miracles that Jesus performed and through his teaching, God has been revealing that Jesus is the Christ, God's anointed king, the one who was foretold to come and save and rule and restore Israel and the whole world. But the spiritual leaders of the day, they can't or they won't see who Jesus is. And the charge that the ruling council brings against Jesus at his trial, as Luke's gospel tells us, is that Jesus was subverting or misleading the nation. They say that Jesus has lied about who he is. And to follow him is to follow a false king. And so the judgment of Jesus begins by the highest human spiritual authority that exists, this council of elders of the people. And so Jesus is before them, and the council ask him, "If you are the Christ, tell us." It's a dangerous question. They're trying to lead Jesus into a trap. And he answers, "If I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I asked you, you would not answer me." And so he's sidestepping their trap. He's refusing to answer their question on their terms because he knows that they've already made up their mind about who he is or who he isn't, and he knows they do not respect his authority. But then Jesus says to the council, "But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God." Here Jesus is alluding to a famous scene from Psalm 110, which is one of the most important, if not the most important, prophecies of the Christ in the Bible. In Psalm 110, you might remember it, King David wrote it hundreds of years before Jesus. King David was the greatest king of ancient Israel. And in the psalm, David foresees the Christ, the God's one true king over all things. And David also hears and reports in the psalm to us what God says to his Christ. And the psalm, 110, it starts by saying, "The Lord says to my Lord," that's David's God, says to David's Christ or David's king, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool under your feet." And then at the end of the psalm it says, "The Lord is at your right hand. He will crush kings on the day of his wrath. He will judge the nations, heaping up the dead and crushing the rulers of the whole earth." At his trial, what Jesus is saying here to the council is, "Yes, I am God's Christ. And I know what's about to happen to me this afternoon on this Good Friday. But after it, know that I go to sit at the right hand of my Father in heaven, from where I will rule the earth. And then very soon, my enemies will face the wrath of God, and I will be the one who will judge the nations. So be very careful, council, in what you do next." On Good Friday, it appeared that Jesus was subject to the judgment of this council. But in reality, it is the council, and indeed every human being, who will be judged by Jesus. Be very careful in how you judge Jesus. The claims of the Bible about Jesus are just too big to ignore. Jesus is God's King. Each of us personally must make a response to that. In our society, in this great city of Melbourne, even this morning, it's very common to ignore or to mock or to reject Jesus. And it's so easy to be seduced into running with the crowd and joining in with this and following along with everyone else's dismissal of Jesus. But let me plead with you, please, do not be fooled. Do not be sucked in by the world. Jesus is who he is. He is God's anointed king. And in things eternal, including eternal life and eternal death, the judgment of our city and the judgment of the world accounts for nothing. Nothing at all. But with things eternal, It is only the judgment of heaven, where Jesus now sits enthroned as king, that counts. All human beings, including those who love and obey the Lord Jesus, and those who ignore or mock or reject him, will one day soon stand before him in his heavenly glory, in that great throne room of heaven, and they will receive his judgment. Make sure you are ready for that day. If you're not yet 100% sure about where you stand with Jesus, and you want to explore what the Bible says about him so that you can make up your own mind, well, as we heard earlier, after Easter at Berwick Anglican Church, starting in May, we're running a course on Tuesday evenings in which you can do exactly that. It's called Christianity Explored. And we would love to have you along. You can bring your friends, you can bring your family. I'd warmly welcome you and invite you to it if you want to explore who Jesus is. If you'd like to do it, you can RSVP by signing up in our sign-up sheet in the foyer, or you can just simply send our office an email. Well, the council, judging Jesus on Good Friday, they knew their Bibles well. They knew Psalm 110, and they knew exactly what Jesus was claiming when he alluded to sitting at the right hand of Almighty God. They're trying to get him up on charges of blasphemy. And they think we're almost there. So they ask Jesus a second question. They ask him, "Are you then the Son of God?" They want to elicit a statement from him that they can use to condemn him. And with some irony, Jesus doesn't deny their question. He replied, "You are right in saying, I am." And the absence of a denial is good enough for this council. In their view, he has now committed blasphemy. He said that he is God's son. He said he is going to sit at God's side. He's made himself equal with God. He's claiming to be the Messiah. He's claiming to be God. And the punishment for blasphemy under the Old Testament law is death. And Jesus has just blasphemed in front of the high priest. And they said, "Why do we need any more testimony? We've heard it from his own lips." Jesus' claims certainly would be blasphemous if they were false. But the council never considered if Jesus' claims were true or false. They never weighed what he said against the evidence. They never searched the scriptures to see what they said about the Messiah and Jesus' claims. They simply rejected him, and they judged him as guilty, and they condemned him to death. And then the rest of Good Friday's tragic events played out accordingly. The council brought Jesus before the secular rulers because only they had the authority to condemn a man to death by execution. And so they dragged Jesus before Pilate, the Roman governor. Pilate examined Jesus, but found Jesus guiltless. And he wanted to sidestep the political pressure of the Council of Elders, because first century Jerusalem was a tinderbox of political intrigue and pressure and occupied Roman armies. So Pilate tries to get out of it by sending Jesus to King Herod for judgment, because he's worked out that Jesus is a Galilean and King Herod had jurisdiction over Galilee, so maybe it could be his problem. Jesus is brought before Herod. Herod examines him. Herod mocks him, but also finds Jesus guiltless, and so sends him back to Pilate. And then Pilate examines Jesus once again, and he declares to the council two more times that he finds no basis for the charges against Jesus. But the high priest and the teachers of the laws, they wanted death for Jesus and they would not relent. And so with loud shouts, they demanded that Jesus be crucified. And as Luke tells us in his gospel, their shouts prevailed. And so even though he knew Jesus was innocent and declared him innocent three times, Pilate condemned Jesus to be crucified. And Jesus was taken out of the city. He was nailed to a cross. And God in the flesh, the only human being who has never sinned, was killed by the very ones he came to save. And so on Good Friday, this was how humanity judged our rightful God and King. As we contemplate these things on Good Friday, I want you to leave here knowing why the Lord Jesus was judged guilty and why he was punished with death on that cross 2,000 years ago. And I want you to know what awesome things it achieved for you. The judgment and death of Jesus was to give you freedom and life. As the Bible says in the book of Romans, all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus, though sinless, was judged guilty by the authorities of earth so that you, though sinful, could be judged guiltless by the authority of heaven. All have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. That includes you, me, everyone else. But on Good Friday, a great exchange was established by Jesus. So that on the cross, Jesus takes all the guilt and punishment of those who belong to him. And in return, we, his people, receive his innocence and his life. So that on that last day, that great and terrible last day, when you will stand in judgment before God, and God will interrogate you, and God will pronounce judgment over you, if you belong to Jesus, you need not fear that day. When your turn comes, and it will, and God examines you face to face, he will not see your sin. He will not see your imperfections. He will not see your stuff-ups. He will not see your failings. But he will see your righteousness and holiness, because he will not see you and your righteousness. He will see Jesus and Jesus' righteousness. He will see you perfected in the blood of Jesus Christ. He will see you as you really, truly are, how you were meant to be, how Jesus created you, perfected by him in his blood on that cross. And then he will welcome you home to be with him forever. So as we prepare to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus on Sunday, the resurrection which was God's verdict on Jesus, which overturned the verdict of the world and restored him to life, today, on Good Friday, be renewed in your wonder and your awe and your thankfulness for Jesus and his cross. Because by his judgment, you received eternal life. Amen.